So we're in a series of words, talking about words. Anybody ever messed up with their words or names or anything like that? Everybody who did not raise their hand is lying in church today. So I have so many that I've done. I was thinking about one where I messed up, and it's entirely true. What I'm going to share, I did this. Not that other stories I tell about myself are not entirely true, but you're going to think he really can't be that stupid. Oh, Garrett, yes, I can. So this was the first time I was on staff at a church. It was back in the day, and it was a big church that I was a part of. And so you had to go through this reception area to get back into all the offices and things like that. So I'd go in, and there was this lady there who worked at the reception, two of them. And one of the ladies' name, I thought her name was Rufus. And I thought, you know, okay, that's peculiar, but that's her name, Rufus. And so for like 6 months straight, I came in every morning, and I'd walk in, and I'd say, good morning, Rufus. So embarrassing. And she never said anything. She was like, oh, good morning, Mark. Good morning, Mark. Day after day, good morning, Rufus. Good morning, Mark. So then I'm talking to somebody, and I'm mentioning Rufus because something was going on in her life. I said, you know Rufus. And they're like, who? I'm like, Rufus. You know Rufus. She works she's a receptionist. And he goes, her name is Dorcas. All right, which is kind of unique too, right? Right? So, but that's at least in the Bible, you know, I think one time. Could have picked Mary or Martha, but Dorcas. Okay, anyways. So her name is Dorcas. And so now I forget about that conversation I had until the next morning. I get in there, and I'm walking in, and I see her, and I go, oh, crud. D. Good morning, doofus. I did. I said that before. And she, such a sweet lady, she said, Mark, I let you call me Rufus for 6 months. We're not doing doofus. This is not happening here. Oh, it's so funny. Anyways, yeah, I wave the stupid flag pretty high sometimes. I can do that. We're talking about words, and words have a lot of impact in people's lives. And I want to start with this passage in James. In fact, read James chapter 3 this week. Put that on your list of things to do. Read James chapter 3. It talks a lot of metaphors about our tongue and our words and their power. And check out this statement. It's a paraphrase from the Message. James chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. He says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. Whoa. Okay, good morning, everybody. True, though. I mean, words have this incredible power. And he's making this point that they have weight. And so we want to use them carefully. And we've all had, you know, a mistake like I made with Dorcas. And we've said something that we didn't mean to or misused a word. But we've also all been guilty of saying things intentionally that are outright mean. And we wish we could retract later. And we're not the only ones with this problem. This has existed from the beginning of time. So James, who's the half-brother of Jesus, he's talking to folks back then about this same issue. Look in chapter 3, verse 9. He says, ironically, the same tongue can be both an instrument of blessing to our Lord and Father and a weapon that hurls curses upon others who are created in God's own image. One mouth streams forth both blessings and curses. My brothers and sisters, this is not how it should be. Does a spring gush crystal clear fresh water and moments later spurt out bitter salt water? My brothers and sisters, does a fig tree produce olives? Is there a grapevine capable of growing figs? Can salt water give way to fresh water? So he's using metaphors and images to say this is stuff that should not exist. He's saying, how can our mouths, and just, you know, stay with me and ponder these things this morning. How can our mouths be in one moment singing worship to an incredible God, expressing our love for him and adoration and the wonder of the cross and all he's done, and then the next minute be driving home from a service, listening and singing along with lyrics that describe the very sins he died for? You know what I'm saying? So he's saying, how can the same mouth bless and honor and speak loving words to a spouse or to a child for and then moments later to bring out cursing and yelling and slanderous remarks? He's going, this should not be that way. He says, how can you be with some people and you're talking nice to them and everything's good and then be away from them and gossip about them? So what James is saying is this should not happen. And my guess is that all of us have done this at one time or another, right? I was thinking about it even this morning, you know, while I was speaking in the first service. And I thought, I remember there's a pastor who I was not that fond of from my past. And we both ministered in the same proximity. And anyways, somebody told me, few years later, said, hey, he got fired from his congregation. And I said, serves him right, that jerk. And then I said, did that come out or did I just think that? He goes, no, that came out. And I went, whoa, where'd that come from? And I knew exactly, and I had to go pray about that. It came, you know, I was mad at him for the way he treated people and different things that he did, and I hadn't dealt with it even in my heart. And so when something happened, boom, this bitterness or this resentment came out of my mouth. Here's what Jesus tells us about words. Write this down. Why do we have this struggle? Why do we have this struggle? Our tongue is really a heart problem, okay? Our tongue is a heart problem. It's not all that unclear why we said that or why we reacted that way. Jesus teaches us that our heart is the source of what comes out of our mouth. And so look at this. It's the words of Christ, the book of Luke, verse 44. He says, you can know a tree by the fruit it bears. You don't find figs on a thorn bush. You can't pick grapes from a briar bush. It's the same with people. A person full of goodness in his heart produces good things. A person with an evil reservoir in his heart pours out evil things. The heart overflows in the words a person speaks. Your words reveal what's within your heart. So what we put into our hearts, what we store in our hearts is going to come out and shape how we treat people, how we behave, and how we talk to people, the words that we use. And it's super easy for us to forget this, right? And then it surprises us when it happens. Like, wow, did I say that? Where'd that come from? It's in our heart. And we are in an entertainment-driven culture where we are bombarded with information and dialogue and social media and television and cable and music and everything. And it's constantly coming our way. And we think it really doesn't have any effect on us, but it does have an effect on us. And so we have to watch what's being stored up in our hearts. What goes in there does come out of there. It's as simple as that. It really is. Last week, we are taking care of our granddaughter, Grace. So she lives with us and we're taking care of her. My wife is not going to want me to share this. So anyways, so Grace, who's a precarious 2-year-old, and she goes, sometimes she just says, she goes like this, and Marinelle's there, and she goes, are you friggin' kidding me? Friggin' kidding me. And we were like, uh-oh, which one of us said that in front of Grace? You know what I'm saying? She didn't get that off of Elmo. You know what I'm saying? Because it somehow it got in there, and then it came out of there. And yes, it was Fringen. It wasn't the other one. It was, but still, I don't want my two-year-old saying something like that, right? What goes in? And we think, oh, I can handle it. Just being inundated with all these influences and stuff, and it really doesn't affect me. And Jesus says, it affects you. What goes in? Even if it's a seed, unchecked, that stuff begins to grow, and all of a sudden it displays itself and manifests itself in how we talk. So here's another great question for us to consider. Write this down. What has your attention? What has your attention? What's getting your attention, even on a daily basis? Because what I see and what I hear and what I experience influences my heart. What I see, what I hear, and what I experience influences my heart. Both James and Jesus were letting us know that what we put into our hearts will eventually come out. What is in there will eventually come out. And for some of us, it's not battling just what we put into our hearts, but maybe what others put into our hearts, yeah? Hurtful words that were said to us. Hurtful things that were done to us, things that were scripted on our hearts, and those experiences have rooted themselves in us, and now that pain that we have suffered is causing us to cause pain to others. We talked about that last week. We said hurt people hurt people. So we want to be careful that those things have been dealt with in our hearts. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go watch the message online talking about what do we do to restore the power of words in our lives. But others of us, we can easily justify our entertainment choices and think it's no big deal because it doesn't really have an impact. What we see and what we hear and what we take in, it doesn't really influence what comes out. It's not the case. And don't hear me wrong. I am, you know, it's not you only gonna listen to worship music or you just gotta read the Bible. I love rock and roll. Let me try this group over here. I do. So I like a lot of music and a lot of shows, different things like that, but we have to use discretion. And here's what Proverbs is saying. The writer of this particular proverb, he says, above all else, everybody say above all else. Okay, that means it's weighty. This is key. He's saying pay attention. Above all else, watch over your heart. Diligently guard it. Because from a sincere and pure heart come the good and noble things of life. So do away with any talk that twists and distorts the truth. Have nothing to do with any verbal trickery. So he's saying, when I notice that these things are coming out that are poisonous or they're sharp or they're rude or they're curt or they're angry or they're this, it's not wondering, why do I do that? He already said it's no mystery. Jesus isn't pondering it. He's saying, it's in your heart. There's been things that have been allowed in there, whether past hurts or present influences that are shaping us. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So here's another great question for us to consider. What is stored up in my heart? Because it's a heart issue. What is stored up in my heart? There's a passage, we don't have it on screen, but it's in Luke. I think it's chapter somewhere around 9. And Jesus has set his face. He's going to Jerusalem. He has a mission. Remember, the cross didn't take him by surprise. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. And so he set his face. He's going there. And he sent out word into the Samaritan village to see if he could stop by there. And anyways, it says the Samaritans did not receive him. They're like, no. And so James and John, who are called sons of thunder, they heard this and they go, Jesus, what's up with that? I'm paraphrasing, but he does say, let's do an Elijah. Let's call down fire and consume those guys. Let's do that. Don't receive my Lord. And Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're even speaking from. Why is that inside of you? The Son of Man came to save lives, not destroy lives. And he was telling him, hey, James, John, check your heart. I mean, your intentions might be, check your heart. Because that kind of stuff pours out from the heart. So I want to show you some statements that we have. We're going to have them up on the screen that help us do a little heart-mouth check and see the connection between our hearts and our words that we speak out and see. Because even as I was looking over these, I saw some this week. I was like, oh, man, I got to be careful on that one in particular, you know. So let's look at these, and you just kind of gauge for yourself. Ready? Here's the first one. A heart filled with guilt speaks angry words. You think about that. Filled with guilt, speaks angry words. But a heart filled with forgiveness speaks gracious words. There's a difference. Here's another. A heart filled with entitlement speaks complaining words, right? I know some of you right now want to run and get your kid out of the youth room and bring him in here to hear this right now, but don't do that. Don't do it. In fact, if you're here with your spouse, none of this, like, pay attention to that one right there. None of this. We're just taking personal inventory this morning on our own lives. A heart that is filled with entitlement speaks complaining words, but a heart filled with gratitude speaks uplifting words. If I notice that I'm complaining, if I notice that I'm not grateful, I don't say, we gotta check our hearts. A heart filled with bitterness will speak harsh words. Whereas a heart filled with peace speaks tender words. You see why we have to give attention here. A heart filled with rejection speaks resentful words. A heart filled with love, with acceptance, speaks kind words. That's why it's so important to know how God feels about you and how he accepts you so that we have that same. It penetrates our heart. It displays in our mouth. A heart filled with condemnation or shame speaks judgmental words to others. They're not free of it themselves. But a heart filled with love speaks compassionate words. It comes out naturally. A heart filled with jealousy speaks words of gossip. A heart filled with contentment speaks words of blessings. And I think all of us can identify with some of these things. And we go, gosh, I really don't like, you know, that I'm doing that, or I speak that way, or I do feel like I gossip, or I complain too much, or I say these things. And it's one thing to just try to knock it off, you know, but it's another thing to realize, wait, this is a deeper issue. Is that old saying, where there's fruit, there's a root, right? And so we don't want to just try to cut off bad fruit in our lives all the time, because it keeps growing back because the root has never been dealt with. We want to deal with, what is that in me that's causing my mouth to speak such kind of words? So here's the bottom line. Write this down. Behavior modification must come from heart renovation. Behavior modification comes from heart renovation. And we've talked about this. The changes from within that God does in our lives. It's not from the outside in. It's not regulated by rules and that tries to change a person. It comes from within and it changes our conduct, changes the way that we speak. The reason so many of us struggle is to see changes in our life is because we keep trying to cut off the bad fruit. We're just on behavior modification. You know, a lot of times people even say, you know, I need somebody to be accountable to, and it's just that, you know, behavioral accountability. And that's fine. We don't want to act out and have bad behavior. There's a place for just trying to, you know, there's two wonderful words when we're thinking about things that we need to curb in our lives, and those words are stop it. Stop doing that, you know? And so that's okay, but we can't just leave it at there where we're just trying to stop bad behaviors or try to start being more nice or try to be more patient. We need to pause there and say, okay, I recognize this thing in my life. I got it. What's going on in my heart? Yeah? So it'll be permanent change and not something that's just mind over matter. So here's how we're gonna turn turn towards closing this morning. I want to give you two steps this week that help us have a healthy heart, that help us understand how to get there with a healthy heart so that naturally our words come out with more grace and more compassion and more gratitude in our lives. Here's number one. When I am healed, my words will heal. When I'm healed, my words will heal. So we want to deal with what's in our heart. And guys, it was, I believe, Socrates who said, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living, that we want to look, we want to know, we want to be honest with ourselves. This is in there. When I said that horrible thing about the pastor, you know, and to go, never mind, you know, what he did or what, that's not the issue. What's there in my heart? Why am I saying that? That's not right. That's salt water coming out of what should be fresh. And I could just repent of saying, but I want to go to the core and say, what is that? So if you notice there's things in your heart, in your life, confess that stuff. Get it out. Talk to a trusted friend and share with them what's going on. Even if it's hurts that have happened to you. And the origin wasn't something that you put in, but again, something that was done to you. At some point, we have to get to a place where we say, I have to be responsible for this thing. I need to get this thing healed in my heart so that this stuff, I don't bring hurt to other people because I was hurt. I mean, all of us this last week, you know, we prayed over Charlottesville last Sunday and this week. You know, everybody goes to social media and everything happens and we hear all kinds of stuff going on. And we didn't really learn anything new this week. It's there. We've seen it. It's ugliness. And one of the posts that has been very popular this week, usually it's attached to a picture of a child saying, racism is not, you're not born a racist, it's learned. That child was in an environment where ugly and evil things were put into their heads somehow. And then their upbringing fostered that perhaps. And so now somebody is at an adult stage. That child has grown up. That child was a victim of some lousy parenting or lousy teaching or whatever that was. And it was unfortunate. That child was a victim. That's where the origin came from. But once that child gets to a place of maturity and grown, whether that's anybody in here, whether it's for racism or it's that anger or it's that just pollution that comes out of our mouth, at some point we have to take responsibility and say, wait, this is me. If that was bad that was in there, I need through confession and through forgiveness and through healing and dealing with this thing openly, I want that out. Amen. You know, so goodness can come out. I don't want to just try to train my tongue to say better things or zip it, you know, when I don't have something good to say. That's okay. That's a start. But I want to go after what is that root? Why am I a gossip? Why am I always complaining? And don't be in condemnation today if you know you're kind of nailed on that. Like, you know what? I am. I'm negative all the time. Okay, admit it. Why? What's going on there? Who do we need to forgive? Who do we need to ask forgiveness from? Who do we need, in what situation do we need to just stand before God and say, Lord, come into this thing. Heal this. I don't know how to fix it. I confess it is wrong. But Lord, heal me. And he'll begin that process. So that's one. When I'm healed, my words will heal. And I want to focus on that. Freedom comes then. And here's the last one. When I am fed, my words will feed. My words will feed. Out of the abundance of the heart, right? What goes in there, what stays in there, all these influences, all these things going on, what's in my heart? My mouth speaks. And so when I'm fed good, I'm gonna feed others. There was a time in my life, when I first came home to the Lord, many of you know, I was incarcerated. So I was incarcerated for a couple years. And at this point in there, I was about 20 years old. And I'd come home to God in there, and it was genuine, it was real. But I found that, man, I was still just so struggling with, you know, my attitude and my language and feelings I had, you know, about some of these guys in here and this and that and just whatever. And yet I was trying so hard to live a Christian life. But I was just like one foot in and one foot out and just constant like this all the time. And I went to a chapel service and the chaplain shared this simple little story, and you've maybe heard it in a different context, but this is what he shared with us that day, and it changed my whole life. It changed my whole life. He said, a guy came to me and said that he was struggling in life, kind of describing what I was feeling, like he was doing good and then he was doing bad. And he was, you know, trying to serve God this day and then, you know, all of hell next week. And it was just back and forth. And he said it was like two dogs that were fighting inside of him, a good dog and an evil dog. And they were both fighting for control. And then the guy asked him, he said, well, which one wins? And he said, the one I feed the most. And I was just, you know, I heard that, I went, boom. It just hit me. I go, it's not an easy walk, but it is simple. I knew I need to do these things. I need to watch. I had to go back. We each had a locker. I had to go back to my locker and take out some of this music I was listening to that was just degrading. And I had to take out some magazines that were not good to have and do these other things. And like, I got to clean this out because I got to watch the influences that are coming into my mind and into my heart and guard those things. And so here's what I'm encouraging you to do today, if you're willing to take this journey, is even just the next right step, even just for 1 week, even, really use discretion. Watch your influences. Maybe this, for just this week, listen to worship music. Some of you are like, what's worship music? It's kind of what we did up here today, right? So you, that's that. You can go on iTunes or Pandora and you could type it in, you know, Christian hits or whatever, worship music, and get it and try it. Try to feed that. And so just see what happens. We can't, and again, I'm not being legalistic about that. You know me. But I'm saying watch over the influences that you are continually bombarded with. We wonder why we have potty mouths and yet all we watch is potty stuff. Or we listen to foul stuff all the time and then we wonder why it's hard for us to connect with Jesus. Why are you wondering? We can't feed ourselves this junk, right? And then feel healthy all the time and to speak life all the time. And so again, and for fear of sounding, you know, legalistic, I'm saying try this, invest, feed your spirit, feed your inner man with the word of God. Wake up in the morning. And I know people will say to me sometimes, Mark, I don't know how to pray. I don't really know how to do that. I get sidetracked. I get lost. I tell them, just do this. Get in the morning, whatever it is, even if it's 15 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is. Turn on a worship song. Get alone and turn on a worship song. Put in your headphones and just worship him. Sing to him. You don't have to wait for Sunday for that. And just have that moment. And then open the Bible and read. And if you're new to that, maybe read like a Proverbs. There's 31 of them. You can do one a month. Maybe a Psalms or work through the New Testament. And just begin to read and absorb and get it in. Watch maybe some of your podcasts that you're listening to or whatever it is. And just make some choices, right? To start downloading things that are good for my heart, because I do want to bless and not curse. We all want that. We want to speak health into our spouses' lives and into our children's lives and not be the gossip, you know, at the break table at work, but to be the person who speaks positively. And you can just try to do that, and that's good, or you can really be mindful about what's going inside of here. So that's the next right step. Let's pray over that this morning for ourselves, okay? Lord, we are grateful for you. We know that you are all about transforming our hearts. We invite you into this week. Things that we need to be convicted on and say, you know what? I need to fast from those particular influences. I need to get that stuff out. It's just creating junk in my heart. Lord, give us the courage and grace to tackle those things and weed them out where there's old wounds that have happened from things that have been said that were hurtful to a person or words that were withheld that should have been said. Lord, we invite you into those areas of our heart to bring healing. We want to release people who have offended us. Maybe we're the cause, the origin of that thing. But today we say, Lord, I've been owning that thing and I want it out. Forgive me, God. Help me release that. And then, Lord, help us to be a people, a community of Jesus followers that are quick with blessing, quick with believing the best and speaking the best and speaking life over people. We ask you these things for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.